is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is week 4 in the National Football League. Welcome, everybody, to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Let's go. Who's ready, baby? Football. I'm Andy McNamara. That's Shaw Ali. On Twitter, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Folks, as you remember from last week, I was in God's country, Show. The place of glory, of beauty, Cleveland, Ohio, and the Browns won. So I'm in such a good mood off of that Browns win. Where I'm putting in, we chatted last night, I said, Show, I want to put in a new contest, and we're going to backdate it to the Browns' 20-point victory over the Bears last week. Anytime the Browns win, you, the listener, gets Domino's Pizza. How about that, Joe?
That's a pretty good deal. You know, it's funny, Andy. I was tempted to say on the air that, you know, you're going to have to pry the H-air out of my cold, dead hands while you were away. But I decided that it wouldn't make for good radio on a Sunday morning. So here we are, back in the regular scheduled programming.
And I jumped in first.
Also, Santos wasn't going to turn my mic on. So, you know, right. What are you going to do?
He's been paid with pizza already.
I see.
He just pats his stomach like, yes, I have. Yes. Ooh, yeah. We got to bring that back after football season. Forgot about too sweet. Salty or sweet. Sweet or salty, whatever it was called.
Memorable segment indeed, Andy, if you don't remember what it was called.
Listen, Show, in this business, you got to keep the blinders on, baby. You just got to keep looking ahead. You can't look behind.
It's true. Don't do it. Keep going.
The pizza prize, this is what, and I like your idea on this, to qualify to win back game to last week, you got to tell me via the people's text line, and we'll get to your fantasy football questions at the top of the next hour, and of course, as always, go through every single game fantasy football starts and sits for week 4. Tell me the leading rusher in the Browns' win over the Bears last week. The leading rusher, you can text in 590-590, name and location, please, or on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. And then at the end of the program, we'll pick a random winner. And you win some Domino's pizza. Not too bad, huh?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Yeah, you know, it's funny. When we were chatting about this little question here for people to qualify, and like Andy said, obviously we'll get to all of your fantasy questions as well. I see a whole bunch here on the text line already. Jeff and Pickering, Eddie from Angus, Ben from Thornhill. So we'll get to all of those at 9 o'clock. But when I in my head thought about who was the leading rusher from last weekend's Browns win. I didn't realize until literally right now that I actually was thinking of the wrong guy. It's not the guy I was thinking of. Yeah, but no. Remember, we're not saying yards from scrimmage. We're saying rushing yards overall.
Correct.
So who is the leading rusher in the Browns' 26-6 win over the Chicago Bears? Also, I felt bad for Justin Fields, I got to say, Andy. After watching the highlights, I mean, I did watch like part of the game, and then, you know, I was doing other work here at the station. But Justin Fields, like, honestly, as bad as he looked, I put very little of that on him, if only because the guy's a rookie, and they did, like, his coaching staff did nothing, just nothing to help that poor kid
out. Buried him. It was one of the most incompetent offensive coaching displays I think I've ever seen, Show, and this is, you know, we know my disdain for Adam Gase as well. That was awful. Like, does Matt Nagy, is he not interested in being employed? Does he want a vacation? Because that's how it's trending there. That was absolutely a debacle. You know what was funny? Because the Browns had 9 total sacks. Myles Garrett feasted 4.5 sacks. But they said in the one of the Browns safeties, John Johnson, said after the game, like, oh, you had an interception taken back. Like, did you want more? They said, did you want more turnovers in the secondary? He's like, well, we wanted to, but every time I looked up, Justin Fields was either on the ground or throwing the ball into the ground. I'm like, well, yeah, that was it. Like, after sacks, after you counted the loss of yards from sacks, it was something like 5 yards of offense or something, Show. Like, it was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. I think it was something like, I remember I was doing the Jays game. We were doing like an out-of-town scoreboard, and I looked at the score, and yeah, like overall offense at the time I looked was like either 5 or 6 yards. And I thought to myself, boy, Andy must be having a blast. And then I think you texted me like right afterwards, and all I could think of was, get off your phone, go back to watching the game.
It was during the game. I was like, it was so good. The city was popping. It was so fun being back there. Got to see a bunch of old friends, tailgates on the outside. A few more masks than when I was in Las Vegas, but I got the post-travel COVID test, and that came back fine. You know what? One quick side story show. So if you go to the States, you cannot drive. You can fly, but COVID can't get you in the air, apparently.
Apparently.
You can't drive. So when you get there, depending on the time, if you're on a 3 to 4 day trip, you have to do a test, a COVID test, 72 hours before returning to Canada. You put into your ArriveCan app and you go back. So that means I had to get the test as soon as I landed from Cleveland. I had to get the test right away. So they take us to a CVS, which is like a Shoppers Drug Mart equivalent in the States.
Right.
And we go in, we booked our appointment, my dad and I, and they said, you just got to go through the drive-through test. We're like, well, We just got dropped off in a cab. Like, you got to go walk through the drive-thru. So we stood like in a bad Curb Your Enthusiasm thing. We're just like standing in line behind two cars at the CVS drive-thru with our rolling suitcases waiting, and had to do our own self COVID test in this right outside. It was very weird.
So how was the trip back then? Was it a similar experience coming back? I have not left the country in basically 2 years, so I have no idea what it's like. You're a seasoned traveler in the COVID era.
I know. You come back, and then they didn't give a home test leaving the airport like they did in July when I came back from Vegas. So we asked somebody, and they said, "Oh, do you have a green sticker on your passport?" I looked. I said, "Yeah." Said, "Oh, then you're good." I was just like traveling in the United States, the one right down there. Yeah, you're fine. It's like, this is why we continue to have issues.
Gosh,
I went and had a test just to make sure. But you don't have to. So anyway, that's the state of the world, at least as of this week, coming back from America. As long as you got a green sticker, folks, you can do whatever the hell you want.
You were telling me also, Andy, that I guess on your way back, I guess through customs, you found I can't tell if it was a fan of the show or if it was just a fan of you personally. But either way,
I forget about that. Yeah, as soon as that happened, I'm like, I gotta text show this. So folks, so I'm leaving the airport. You know, you're leaving. You go through baggage because I picked up a couple bottles of my Cleveland whiskey on the way back. I hadn't been able to have that in a year and a half. So I got that. I'm wheeling through. And then before you hand it your card in that you give your little picture thing or whatever when you're leaving the airport, and the guy grabs it, and I had my mask on and I'm wearing my Browns gear. He's like, "Hey, you're Andy from the radio. You talk Browns all the time. How was the game?" And you start talking Browns. I'm like, and there's a line forming behind us and all that. He's like, "Oh, I love the show." I'm like, "Hey, thank you." And then we just left. So the Browns show unites everybody. On the gentleman's tag, it had his last name, Singh. So, Mr. Singh, if you're listening, thanks for being a fan.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Fun trip and all that. So, we'll get into the fantasy football start. Since injury updates, as always. And, Joe, you know what I realized? Next week, we gotta hand out some season-ending prizes to our fantasy baseball listener league.
Yeah,
pool.
Yeah. I can't believe, first of all, that later today is game 162 of the regular season, which is insane to me.
Yeah.
That the Blue Jays have 90 wins and they are still sitting one game out of a wild card spot. It's going to be chaos later today, 3 p.m. Eastern. Thereabouts. I think there are some games start at like 3:05, some games start at 3:07, some games start at 3:10. But either way, in some way, shape, or form, every single game today in Major League Baseball starts at or around 3 p.m. Eastern. So everyone's going to be scoreboard watching. And, you know, the Yankees are playing the Rays. They've lost the first two games of that series. The Red Sox are playing the Nationals. And I believe the Nationals are starting a guy, a Triple-A call-up for his Major League debut for their pitcher in that game. The Mariners, of course, are playing the Angels to end the season. And then the Jays have to win against the Orioles. So it's been a truly wild week in the world of Major League Baseball. So I'm really excited to see what madness lies in store across the League of Baseball later today.
You know, it's funny, Sho, how we say it's at the beginning of the year, it's 162 games, and boy, it's a marathon, and you can lose a series. But then at the end of the year, you can look back today and say, you know what, one game along the way could have made that difference. Like, how crazy is that? We talk so much about the big picture and the gates early and whatever, but what it turns out, and you'd never know till the end of the year, but sometimes one extra win, one game that got away could make the difference. And the Jays are in a situation where you win, all they have to focus on is winning. They win the game, then they get in, I believe, Show, if the Red Sox or the Yankees lose. Is that right? So if the Jays win, that's step one. And then if the Red Sox or Yankees lose, they get in. Yeah?
I believe that's correct. Yeah. If either one of New York or Boston lose and the Blue Jays win, they're not necessarily get in, but there will be a tiebreak 163 game tomorrow. And then the winner of that game will go on to play like the other team in the AL wildcard game, basically. So I think that's the scenario. I believe if the Yankees and Red Sox both win, even if the Blue Jays do win, it's the Yankees, Red Sox in the AL wildcard game, right? So I think you need one of those two teams to lose in order to set up a 163. I feel like the best bet probably is the Rays sweeping the Yankees today. But I mean, heck, baseball is so crazy. The variance with baseball on a week to week basis, on a day to day basis, I should say, is absolutely off the charts, right? So who knows what the heck is going to happen today? Honestly, hashtag chaos. It's happening, Andy.
Hashtag chaos. And so couldn't we theoretically end up, if let's say the Red Sox and Yankees lose and Mariners and Blue Jays win, like Mariners would jump into another wild card tie game, right? Tiebreaker game. Wouldn't that be the case too?
I think so, yeah. I believe if the Mariners win and the Blue Jays lose and one of the Red Sox and Yankees lose, then yeah, they will be in the tiebreak scenario, which is crazy because I think, has it been like 20 years since the Mariners made the playoffs, which is just something which is absurd, frankly. So
too bad, Seattle.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Oh man. You know, I gotta say on a non-homer Toronto note, because yeah, it's like I don't feel too bad for the Mariners. Let's be real, right? I want the Blue Jays to win as a Blue Jays supporter, but at the same time, there have been some wild seasons for the Seattle Mariners, like things like where they looked amazing and they're winning like off the charts at the beginning of the season, and then they'll finish last in the division. Or like there was a year like in the mid 2000s or something where they won like 10 games going into the All-Star break, and then their manager like retired during the All-Star break, and then they just like lost. They had like a miserable year after. It's just like just really improbable things happening year after year after year to contribute to like a 20-year playoff drought is wild. So obviously Blue Jays number one, but I mean, heck, I'd prefer the Mariners to make it over the Yankees or Red Sox. I'll put it that way.
I don't think I've given thought to the Seattle Mariners since Ken Griffey Jr. was on their team, which is how many years ago now?
Yeah, right.
20, whatever.
A long time.
I have not given thought. It's funny you say the manager quitting, because last weekend, because college football is huge in the States too.
Right.
I forget which team, but apparently there's a situation where at halftime, a player on one of the college, it was a major program, I can't remember the name, but they went into the locker room, told the coach, "I'm done, I'm quitting." He's like, "Oh, at the end of the year? Oh, sorry." He's like, "No, I'm quitting football like now." It's like after the game. He's like, "No, it's halftime. I'm leaving." He's like, "What?" Some guy just quit halfway through, full ride scholarship as well. He's like, "Ah, I'm out. I'm good." Like, geez, hope your plan to be a doctor works out, pal. Good Lord.
That's like when, do you remember when Vontae Davis, I think he was a cornerback, remember? Yeah, he was either playing for the Dolphins or playing for the Bills. Either way.
He was playing for the Bills.
He was for the Bills, yeah, okay, because he played for both teams. But yeah, Vontae Davis retired in the middle of the game at halftime, which is insane. Like, it's the same thing, right? Like, who does that? Come on, man.
It's like, oh, man, I got stuff to do. I'm going.
I got stuff to do. not play this football game.
He's looking to say, "Oof, I thought I could make the end, but you know, not so much." Okay, let's get to some of the. There is actually a lot of health news and issues and start sits, whatever. So, number one, your former two loves return to New England.
Well, one of them
tonight. Is. Well, you like Gronk, I assume.
Yeah, but he's not making the trip though.
Well, spoiler alert, Joe. God. So Gronk's, it originally came back negative. Now apparently a couple of hairline fractures on his ribs. So he is now, is he officially out? Because I believe he is
technically doubtful, but I want to say that one of Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter had tweeted that he didn't get on the plane. So the team is obviously in, they're like obviously in New England now because they, you know, it's Sunday, but I don't think he physically traveled. So unless he like feels really good and they can fly him up between now and like 12 hours from now, I don't think he's playing tonight.
Gronk was a WWE champion. This smells of a run-in like nothing else. Right at, he runs out of the tunnel, sneak attack running for Gronk. It's going to happen.
I take it back, Andy. I scrolled a little further down. Now officially out for Sunday night versus Patriots.
So Gronk gone, which sucks. Oh, that would have been so fun. Gronk lighting up old Uncle Bill, but he is gone. Tom Brady, apparently the news is really not an if, but when. He needs 68 passing yards to break Drew Brees' all-time passing record.
Right.
That the Patriots will pause, not stop the game show. So they'll be like, all right, a little nod, a little wave, acknowledge it briefly, and then move on. Is that the right move to you? Do you think they should do something, or is that just, that's a Belichick thing, and it's like, hey, he's not with us anymore, get over it?
You know, I can see both sides of this. I think, like, Brady himself also would appreciate not stopping until after the game, because, like, in basically every interview I've listened to him over the last week, he has downplayed it as much as humanly possible, and I think like his father has downplayed it, and you know, is everyone is like his QB coach, his like trainer guru, right, Alex Guerrero, like all these guys have downplayed it as much as humanly possible. So you know how he is. He's like he's a maniac machine who doesn't really, you know, pay too much attention to that kind of stuff. So I think like after the game will be when everyone gives him a nice round of applause, But yeah, I think like it reminds me. I mean, it's a little different when it's Tom Brady versus and literally anyone else. But I'm reminded of when Adam Vinatieri came back to the Patriots after he signed with the Colts, and it was the same kind of thing. Like he hit a field goal, and they gave him a nice round of applause, and everyone was happy. And then like as soon as like it was a nice little pause, and then as soon as that was done, they booed him mercilessly. Like just booed him for the rest of the game. So I have a feeling it'll be like maybe relatively similar because that's the only comparable I can think of, but. I mean, again, even Tom Brady is not in the same conversation at this point as
he can't get booed. You don't think they're going to boo him at all, do you?
You know what? I think some fans will. I think some fans will, but I think by and large, people are going to be happy to see him again. But I, as far as the pausing thing for his passing yards record, I mean, he got all but what 4,000 yards with the Patriots, right? So they better acknowledge something, right?
It's mainly him. Absolute boy. If you New England fans, if you boo Tom Brady, then you suck more than usual. That's awful if you do that. Wow. Not you, show. You know, the New England.
I'll never boo him. No, I'm gonna wear the Brady jersey later tonight.
Absolutely. You should. Also, apparently, Josh Gordon back from the dead again. He's impressed already on the Kansas City Chiefs practice squad. Could be activated as soon as next week. So, show, I'm not a fortune teller, but I can foresee questions coming. Do I pick up Josh Gordon? Do I stash Josh Gordon? You can replay the same stock answer that we've been doing since, 2014. No, because as much as I love Josh Gordon. I have a signed football from Josh Gordon that I got from the $5 bin on a Cleveland Browns locker room sale when we went to training camp 2 years ago. $5. I got a signed Josh Gordon ball. I want the man to be successful, show. Super talented when on the field, but he hasn't done anything or proven he can stay on the football field at all. So to believe that he can do it without any proof whatsoever, I think is foolish. You're just randomly blind belief that he can do it. I would not waste a roster move personally on Josh Gordon.
Yeah, no. I've rostered Josh Gordon during his career when he was with the Patriots. I think I rostered him when he was with the Browns at one point. Well, that was the high point, really, right? And then I think when he was with this, I want to say he was with the Seahawks at some point as well.
Yeah.
I feel like I've rostered him in every iteration of his career. At this point, you know what? I just it's nothing more than a lottery ticket. As fun as the Josh Gordon memes are, and I think they are a lot of fun. You'd be better off rostering a lottery ticket like Rashad Bateman at this point. I feel like
I agree. Somebody who's available. What do we say? Best ability is availability, and Josh Gordon has never been able to be available. Antonio Gibson for Washington is expected to play despite the shin injury, so he's questionable. is expected to play. Also, one other quick bit of Buccaneers news. Richard Sherman, who was signed on Wednesday's show, he's expected to start tonight.
Yeah, I think I'm curious to see. Like, I know the official party line from the Buccaneers was that Richard Sherman has learned the defense quicker than he imagined. I think that's just a placeholder for he is a warm body who has played cornerback before in his career. So they're just gonna throw him out there and be like, Richard, just run around and bat down Mac Jones passes as much as you humanly possibly can. Like, just cover Jacoby Myers. Don't bother with anyone else. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's I just can't imagine how, you know, I mean, hey, I'd be happy to be wrong because those kinds of stories are fun. But at the same time, I mean, how can you really expect a guy to contribute at, like, in a meaningful way after 3 days? You know what I mean?
I think you're right. It's like, hey, Richard, you remember I played football? Yeah. Looks ready to me, guys. What do you think? Get on in. Tap on the butt. Get on in. George Kittle calf is questionable, but apparently was, according to Ian Rapoport of NFL Network, quote, loudly telling teammates this week that he was playing. So I'm not quite sure what that means. He's screaming at his teammates, I'm playing. Just yelling at them. And they're like, okay, George, cool. All right. So George Kittle, we'll get into with the 49ers game show. That team's in a lot of trouble. Eli Mitchell. The guy y'all spent $99 your fab budget on.
He's out.
Woo!
Yeah.
Gone. So that's an issue. Dalvin Cook expected to play. Tyler Lockett, questionable, is also expected to play for the Seahawks today. Darrell Henderson, ribs, questionable, is playing today, said Sean McVay. And Jonathan Taylor, knee issue, is expected to play. That Colts game show, again, we'll get into it later with our team-by-team breakdown. Carson Wentz, is there a third ankle he could roll? Does he have a third ankle somewhere? This could be a big day for the running backs because you might not have a quarterback that can stand up.
Yeah, that's gonna be an interesting one because I think the Colts defense is like a intriguing play, let's say. But if the offense can't stay on the field, I mean, that's gonna be a tough sell. You know what I mean? So I think at the same time, they're playing Jacoby Brissett and the Dolphins, so it's gonna be a tough game either way. And I guess before we hit the break here, Andy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson are expected to play. And Chase Claypool has been ruled out. So Deontay Johnson making his return after being ruled out last week, and now Claypool is out. So I would imagine Big Ben threw the ball like 58 times last week. 58 times. Man's 39 years old and has an arm like a wet noodle at this point. And he threw the ball 58 times. Like, I can't imagine he's going to do that again. But, boy, if you had a Najee Harris start last week in any kind of PPR league, you were extremely happy. I think Harris got like 14 balls last week.
Boy, oh yeah, Noodle. I think you light up Deontay Johnson from just the short cross route because, as you said, Roethlisberger's arm done as of right now. Oh, that feels so good to say. I've been waiting 20 years to say that show. Well, done, you're gone, Big Ben.
Andy, but now the next big guy in the AFC North is the leader of the surprising Bengals. Now it's Joe Burrow who's going to terrorize the Browns for the next 20 years.
You know what? I welcome Joe Burrow in. I think they're a little toothless tiger myself with those Cincinnati Bengals. But we can get into that a little bit later. Let's take the break. And when we come back, we will begin our game-by-game fantasy football start sits. We'll get to your texts as well in the People's Text Line coming up, 590-590. This is the Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza, and you're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We're rolling Fantasy Show. Across the Sportsnet Radio Network, Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. You can get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. People's text line open, 590-590. Of course, folks, we are delivered by Domino's Pizza and Show. I had to myself last night a delicious medium two-topping pizza. I went all medium. I didn't intend to eat the whole thing myself, but darn it, I did it. I had the barbecue sauce, I had the chicken on top, a little ranch dressing at the side. It was delicious. Before I knew it, it was all gone, and I ate the whole pizza, and the kids just looked at me with, I think, a bitter, like, half, I think my son was impressed, and my daughter was a little ashamed.
A little disgusted.
But
I ate
the whole dang thing.
Yeah.
A little disgusted.
Daddy, can we have some pizza? No, go to your room.
We got multiples. Okay. But yes, I did eat the whole thing. And you can too, folks. You can too. You can pig out like me or be more sensible and not eat an entire pizza yourself at Domino's.ca. Perfect football food. Let's get to our fantasy.
Hey, Andy, and we are giving away that prize. Don't forget.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, we're giving away Domino's pizza today. So you can text in or tweet. Again, $5.90, $5.90. And we're putting in a new little game. Anytime the Browns win, you win Domino's pizza. And I'm backdating it to the Bears over the victory over the Bears last week when I was in Cleveland, 26-6. That felt so good. So you got it. Text in $5.90, $5.90 or tweet the leading rusher for the Browns versus the Bears last week. Who is the leading rusher for the Browns versus the Bears? And we'll pick a random winner at the end of the show, and you win some Domino's pizza.
There
Not
you
too bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's kick it, baby. Let's go. Fantasy football starts. It's for every game. I think we can go quick through the first couple here. Whew. Washington football team at the Atlanta Falcons. This is the game if you got to miss it, unless you're heavily invested in those teams, probably okay to do so. Matt Ryan, not an advisable start against that Washington defense. It just seems show that these two teams, like, for me, I can't believe I keep going back to this. My top start for the Falcons is Cordarrelle Patterson. I think he's been, he was on one of my waiver wire pickup articles on sportsnet.ca. He has been tremendous since week two. He's got target share. His workload keeps increasing. He's over Mike Davis in a pass rush combo. I think Cordarrelle Patterson is still somebody that you can get in 25% of Yahoo leagues. And, outside of Calvin Ridley, that might be your best fantasy play on the day for them.
Yeah, like when it comes to Mike Davis, like Mike Davis still gets a lot more actual carries on the ground.
Yes.
But Cordarrelle Patterson, like you said, gets a lot more, catches a lot more passes in the air. And that's where his value lies, right? So especially in a half or full PPR league, you want to, yeah. I think, yeah, you're probably right. Patterson, probably your best start. Calvin Ridley, probably your next best start just because they're still throwing the ball to him. He's had over 50 yards in every game. He's only been under 10 targets once, and that was in week one. Only the one touchdown, but I mean, look, that's not an unfamiliar sight if you're a Falcons fan, because that happened all the time to Julio, right? Julio would get like a crap ton of targets and not get many touchdowns sometimes. But yeah, I mean, you're not like Kyle Pitts. You know, it's been a little disappointing for him. Matt Ryan himself. I think, you know what, the problem with the Falcons, more than anything else, I don't think it's anything to do with Matt Ryan's, like, any accuracy issues or anything like that. I think the offensive line is terrible. The offensive line for the Falcons might be the worst offensive line in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
And I think it really just, as much as you and I both love Kyle Pitts coming out of college, I think that the Falcons would have been better suited to take, like, Sewell, for example, coming out of the draft, because their line is, or even trading down a couple spots and getting two offensive linemen, right? Because it has not been pretty in Atlanta. So that basically means, like you said, Patterson and Ridley. And then on the Washington side, I mean, like, it's really, again, similarly, it's the usual suspects, right? Like Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, and Logan Thomas.
Curtis Samuel has been activated, folks. Just so you know, Curtis Samuel is back and expected to play. Snap count, if they're going to ease him in or not, we're not sure. So that'll be interesting to see just how he is utilized and worked in.
It could cannibalize a little bit from Logan Thomas and or Terry McLaurin. It could, but you kind of just have to wait and see at this point, right?
You kind of have. Listen, you're going to play the guys. I would personally try to avoid Curtis Samuel this week until we see how this works, but... You know, I think this also could be a big game for J.D. McKissic, who's been a little up and down with the tall, frosty glass of Heineke in at quarterback. So we'll have to see how that all plays out. Let's move on. Texans at the Buffalo Bills. Oh, Bills fans, 17.5-point favorite show for Buffalo.
Yeah.
17 and a
half. You want a survivor pool pick this week and you haven't used the Bills? Yeah, just use them now. Use them this week.
Like, I know there's been bigger spread differences. I know. But I just can't remember one right now. 17 and a half.
It's brutal.
Oh, it's because the Texans are awful. However, show, not to get too deep on the betting side, but the Texans are still, like, you will beat them. But they'll make you work for it. Like they're filled with like veteran professionals. Like they know how to play football. So I think I might take the Texans to cover 17.5. Like the Bills haven't been like blow away dominant this year yet. This might be the game where they do it. But I don't know. 17.5 seems a little rich.
I was just trying to remember off the top of my head what the final score was for the Bills last week. I don't know exactly remember what it was, but it was a dominant performance by the Bills. Like they ripped Washington a new
43-21.
You know what I mean?
Like 43-21.
And that game was like 43-21. I think doesn't exactly like just the score itself doesn't tell you how lopsided that game was from the get-go. The Bills and Josh Allen did whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted to the Washington defense. It was gross, honestly. Like, I had that game on in the studio last week during the Jays game, and they were, like, Josh Allen marching up and down the field. I don't expect it to be exactly the same this week, but, I mean, again, Josh Allen is the man for a reason, right? I mean, you picked him as your QB1 on the year. And, I mean, when it comes to who you're starting from the Bills, you're starting Josh Allen. You're not going to be concerned about that. You're starting Stephon Diggs. I think there's a place, depending on how deep your leagues are, to start Emmanuel Sanders. And you know what? Maybe even Dawson Knox, if only because the Knox this week is maybe a better play than most, if only because I think the Texans are really, really quite bad, specifically against tight ends in the red zone. And that's
against
one of
everyone?
The... Against, well, like you said, against everyone, certainly. But that's one of their, unfortunately, one of their true weaknesses on defense. But, I mean, like when it comes to the offense of the Houston Texans, who are you starting apart from Brandon Cooks?
No one. It's Brandon Cooks based on pure volume. That's it, Joe. That's it. That's the end of the conversation. You guys can text in and tweet and ask about what about this guy? The answer is the other person in your question. Okay. Whatever Houston Texan that you're going to tweet or text us about that is not named Brandon Cooks, whoever the other person in that question is, go with that person. I'll save you some time. Do not pick the Houston Texans for anything outside of Brandon Cooks. That's just what it is.
Yeah, and like, it's what's the point? You'd just be stressing yourself out. Anthony Miller,
pick somebody else.
Mark Ingram,
you know what?
Just stay away, people.
like, show at least don't, if you have a chance to not have to watch any Houston Texan football, don't punish yourself. Pick somebody else on a more fun team that you can at least enjoy the game. You don't want to watch that one, right? Come on.
And even, you know what? Brandon Cooks has been amazing this year, and he's not been injured, and his injuries largely stem from concussions in the past, unfortunately. So, you know, we'll have to, like, keep that in mind for the rest of the season. But as long as he's healthy, I mean, he is terrific, right? Like, he is so, so good. I am a little concerned about, like, if the Bills' defense can really wreck the Texans this week, I'm a little concerned if Davis Mills just has zero time to get him the football. But, I mean, still, I would still put, at worst, Brandon Cooks as, like, a mid-tier WR2 this week.
Yeah, and at running back, and we get these questions. Zach Moss over Devin Singletary, but still, I still don't trust the timeshare. It's still a split, and it's still a situation where Josh Allen can call his own number first. So I would still actively try to avoid the Bills' backfield, but if you have to pick between the two, I think Zach Moss is the smart play right now.
Yeah, well, and I guess last thing on this, too, is simply, if you do believe that the Texans are going to get absolutely railroaded this weekend, then I think Zach Moss isn't a terrible play, because you would imagine that, like, let's say the Bills are up huge at halftime. They're going to start running the ball a whole hell of a lot in the second half, right? So I guess my point is simply, if you think this is going to be a positive game script for the Bills, then I think you'll like Zach Moss this week, because he has seemingly out-touched Devin Singletary basically since he was inactive in week 1.
Right, exactly. All right, let's move on to, this is a lot of bad matchups this week, show. Lions at Bears. Two of the staple, the pillar franchise in the National Football League. I looked up last night for fun. The Detroit Lions have only won 4 championships, and they've been around since 1934. They originally were the Portsmouth, Ohio Spartans, and then moved to Detroit in 1934, and have won 4 championships, the last one being in 1957.
Why
they were hot. If you were in Detroit in the 50s, it was hot.
You were looking this up for fun? Why? Why were you?
Well, maybe not for fun. Well, because I was reading some stuff on the Bears. I'm like, who are they playing? I'm like, the Lions. Like, ugh. And I was like, who do I want to play? Don't want to slot anybody in for fantasy. I'm like, and then I got a rabbit. I'm like, why not? I know they haven't been to, like, won a Super Bowl, but what? And I was like, oof, that is a rough go, man. That is a rough go. The Bears, like, Justin Fields, he is getting the start.
Yep.
I would have to think, that they'll open up the offense to let him run around a little bit, but I can't say that with confidence. Allen Robinson, show, can you believe we're saying he survived all those bad quarterbacks?
I can't believe it, yeah.
He's on my bench. I got Allen Robinson on my bench.
It's unfortunate, right? We know Allen Robinson, talent-wise, like actual talent-wise, is probably one of the better wide receivers, maybe, dare I say, in the entire league, right? And he, unfortunately, after surviving Blake Bortles and Nick Foles and to a partially Andy Dalton, he is not, seemingly through the first three weeks and maybe even through the first 4 weeks after today, has not survived thus far. Yeah, I'm unfortunate. Okay, I think a game against the Lions, terrible, awful, very bad defense, could be a quote-unquote get-right game. But it's just, like, I would hate to recommend to someone, like someone who texts in and asks about Allen Robinson, I would hate to recommend Allen Robinson and have him do really poorly. Like, it's crazy to say this. I'd rather see him blow up and have a good game on my bench than I would have him go out in my starting lineup, use up a roster spot, and, like, stink it up through no fault of his own.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not blaming Allen Robinson. This is not your fault, Allen. It's not your fault.
Yeah, it's like in Good Will Hunting. You remember when Robin Williams, like, hugs him? He's like, "It's not your fault, son. It's not your fault, Allen. It's not your fault."
I've never seen Good Will Hunting.
Oh my gosh, you uncultured rube!
I know.
My God,
I'm watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia reruns. Get my brain smart. For the Lions, DeAndre Swift is going to go. He's been nicked up. I believe it was with it was either ankle or knee, but regardless, he is questionable, but is expected to play. Again, track up until kickoff and all that. It's a groin injury, actually. He was limited still at Thursday practice, but as of now, is expected to play. Track it. If not, Jamal Williams is a must-start. TJ Hawkinson might have some extra emphasis. Remember, too, despite all the Bears' flaws, they do have two terrific pass rushers in Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn. Now, Mack left the game last week. I'm not sure if he is active or not. Check that. But it seems to fit right into Jared Goff's tool set show, where he needs to get rid of the ball quickly on short passes, and that's how you avoid a pass rush.
Yeah, and who benefits most from that in this offense? It's DeAndre Swift, right? Like, DeAndre Swift is a bona fide RB1 at this point. Like, I know he's managing, like you said, the groin injury. I know he's that's going to be a concern for the rest of the season, and Jamal Williams is more than ready to step in if not. But, I mean, boy, he has been just phenomenal this year.
Williams has been serviceable. Like, he needs a touchdown, but a couple touchdowns, you know, he had 21 fantasy points first week, 5.2 week two, 13.7 in PPR last week against Baltimore.
Yeah.
Not like if you're tough, I wouldn't make him my first choice on flex, but not the worst. So, you know, that's a situation there. I think he can, again, safely avoid the Lions wide receivers here. Quintus Cephas, not bad, you know, only one target last week, but like overall, that's. I just feel there's better wide receiver options for you out there.
So. Yeah, like if you're like in a 14 team league or something, you could start Quintus Cephas, because I believe Tyrell Williams is on IR now. So I guess by default, it makes Quintus Cephas the number one guy. But yeah, I mean, like you said, there are probably better options out there.
Yeah, and David Montgomery, you know, if you draft him, you're probably going to have to play him. But boy, oof. Set your expectations in single digits, folks, for your fantasy points. That's just where we're at. Let's get to Panthers versus Cowboys. Finally, a fun game. Finally, a fun game. The Carolina Panthers. I don't know about you, man. This Sam Darnold kid, we were talking about, it was how can he shake off the ghosts of New York? Can he overcome Adam Gase's horrendous coaching? Looks like he's doing it, and you are setting up for a shootout style with the super amped up Dallas Cowboys offense. Listen to Sam Darnold's. First of all, show Sam Darnold, 16th overall fantasy player, period. Not quarterback, player right now. His fantasy points through 3 weeks, 19.06, 19.9, 25.26. Let's go.
A lot of Darnold's value, I think, has come via his legs. A lot of rushing yards, and he is. I think he's like top five or top seven or something like that in rushing touchdowns in the NFL this year so far, at least. And certainly with Christian McCaffrey out with that hamstring issue, you're not. You probably can guess that Sam Darnold's going to run the ball a little more as well. DJ Moore, DJ Moore doesn't have the best matchup this week. I freely admit Trevon Diggs has been very, very good for a cover corner for the Cowboys. But I will say, as long as Christian McCaffrey's out, whatever the catch over is, Andy, I said this last week, but whatever the catch over under is for DJ Moore this week, take the over. I don't know what it is, but take the over, because you know Sam Darnold, like, maybe even to the detriment of literally every other player on this offense, is going to, like, just force feed that ball to DJ Moore, basically, for the rest of the game.
In Canada's own, Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
He's in there in the backfield. We'll have to... I'm interested to see, and a lot of people spent their top waiver priority, rightfully so, on Hubbard. And we saw last year, you know, Mike Davis filled in and got a lot of work filling in for McCaffrey. Hubbard, totally different type of back. Big guy, like 6'2", you know. He's like a more built like Derrick Henry than Christian McCaffrey. So how he's used and worked in with a full week, knowing he'll be the starter, I think is going to be very interesting. And also, Robbie Anderson, who's... So I got one team with Allen Robinson and Robbie Anderson. Beginning of the year, I'm looking good.
Eddie. Yep.
Right? Beginning of the year, I'm looking good. Both on my bench. But Robbie Anderson, it has been said, Matt Rhule said, we, quote, need to get Robbie Anderson more involved. So I wonder, maybe with DJ Moore receiving top coverage, maybe this opened things up a little bit more for Robbie Anderson. I'm struggling with that kind of blind faith hope whether to keep put him in my lineup or not.
I have Robbie Anderson as a sit this week. Through no real fault of his own. It's just the way the offense has evolved, and especially maybe after the mess that has happened with Christian McCaffrey. I feel like, again, you want to see him produce before you stick him back in your lineup, like at the expense of like someone who probably is a little more reliable at this point. The Cowboys' defense, I mean, they have struggled a little bit, but at the same time, They've been limiting guys pretty often. You know what I mean? So I hesitate to say start Robbie Anderson. I have a feeling Robbie Anderson and Chuba Hubbard are going to be very often texted players, let's say, on the people's text line today.
I think so. And for the Cowboys, Amari Cooper, after that monster first week, came right back to 17. Now, we weren't expecting 17 targets every week.
No.
But to go from 17 to 5 to 4 over weeks 2 and 3, super concerning after the hot start.
He's been injured too, I think, right?
Like he has been banged up.
He's had a rib injury or something like that. Yeah, he's been hurting a little bit.
It looks like he's healthy and good to go for today, so we'll see if that helps him jump back up. I personally would feel that maybe CeeDee Lamb is the better play. Ezekiel Elliott, I want to see this progression show, because after all the hand-wringing over Tony Pollard being in there, and he is being involved in the offense, we've seen the last 2 weeks increased production from Zeke, which is what you want. So this, if you make it 3 consecutive weeks, in PPR he went from 4.9 to 16.7 to 25.1 and 3 touchdowns combined over those last 2 weeks. If Zeke can do something like that again this week, I think you can comfortably say he's back. You have a matchup with the Giants coming after that. So Zeke could be reintroducing himself to the hearts of fantasy players if you can keep that going and stave off that pesky Tony Pollard.
And real quick before we hit the break here, the Panthers defense, Andy, a surprising unit, I think, through the first 3 weeks. I think I have them in one league, and I kept them in our two leagues, and I kept them in one league and I dropped them in another, because they lost, it would seem, J.C. Horn, their heralded young cornerback, one of their top picks in the draft this year, and he's been playing really, really well. And they lost him to a broken foot. Now, it looks like he can return, or he will maybe be able to return at some point this season. But, I mean, you can't count on that necessarily. And with his absence, and I think someone else went out with a hamstring injury. And they basically suffered a whole bunch of injuries in that Thursday night game last week. So the Panthers defense, usually a pretty stout play. But with the injuries and obviously playing the high-powered Cowboys offense, you might want to, you know, maybe keep them on the bench this week.
Yeah, that's a smart play. Going in before those injuries, Carolina has given up the fewest fantasy points to running back, so keep that in mind. But I agree, Show, they might be more in line for a shootout than a shutdown type of defensive game. All right, we're going to take the break. When we come back, we will continue our fantasy football start. Since for every game, we'll give away some Domino's pizza. Answer your fantasy football questions on the People's text line at the top of the hour. This is the Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza, and you're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Back to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza. How about a large four-topping pizza is $12.99. Or unlimited large two-topping pizzas for just $10.99 each. Perfect football food, folks. Have at it. Check out all the great deals at Domino's.ca. Carrier or delivery, that's Domino's.ca. I'm Andy McNamara. That's Show Ali. We'll get to your fantasy football questions on the People's Text Line, 590-590, coming up top of the hour. You can get us on Twitter as well, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. All right, let's keep rolling, Show, with our fantasy football start sits for every game. Colts at Dolphins. And this game is one that, boy, if I'm on the Colts, like, Show, I'm looking. You have Carson Wentz, who's got both sprained ankles. If he had another leg, he'd sprain that ankle too. He might start. He might not finish. You got Brett Hundley behind him. Like, just a gross, gross-looking offense with all those questions. Jonathan Taylor expected to play. Marlon Mack requesting a trade. I personally think this could be a massive game for Nyheim Hines. That's the guy I want in my flex spot. Give me some Hines. Pour it all on, Show.
Hines. The Colts offense, like you said, looks gross. Is that, I think, a perfect word? It's gross. I 100% agree. Like, Carson Wentz is not the Carson Wentz, not like even of last year, right? Like, he is, he's not throwing the ball downfield. He is holding it a lot. Maybe partially that has to do with injuries, but by and large, he has been pretty bad this season. So that obviously impacts the offense as a whole. Yeah, Nyheim Hines, not a bad play. Jonathan Taylor, like, if you, again, because of where you drafted him, unfortunately, you probably don't have a lot of better options right now. So he's probably, like, at best an RB2 right now, just with the state of the whole offense. But, I mean, you know, when you look at the wide receivers, for example, like, are you despite the fact that Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell and Zach Pascal are the primary receivers here, are you feeling comfortable starting any of those guys?
No.
I don't think
no.
so, right? Like, you
no.
can't. So it's it's unfortunate. So I unfortunately, yeah, you got to say you sit all of them if you can absolutely help it. I guess Pittman is the guy you'll start over anyone else. But still, at this point, it's not great. And then, that's really it. It's Jonathan Taylor, RB2, flex play for Hines, and no one else if you can absolutely help it.
I'm with you. And then we look at the Miami Dolphins side. Revenge game for Jacoby Brissett, Show. Jacoby Brissett, revenge game against the Colts. Tua, I read this morning, is expected to return October 17.
Yeah.
So not that, you know, Tua wasn't blowing us away anyway. It's not like the offense, I don't think, is going to get some massive kick up. But we've seen Jacoby Brissett. He is a professional quarterback in the National Football League. He can win you some games. He's kind of like a less injury-prone and hard-luck Tyrod Taylor to me, Show.
Okay.
He's coming. He's a professional. He might not win you the game, but he's not going to cost you the game either. And hopefully no needles to the lungs like poor Tyrod. Good Lord, that guy. Oh, my gosh.
Look, I'll just say this about the Dolphins, Andy. Patriots legend Jacoby Brissett is a sit only because he did get some decent value out of his legs last week. It's just, I don't know, you can really count on that from a week-to-week basis, right? I guess if you're in a 2QB league or a super flex league, maybe you can give that a go. But regular leagues, you have for sure better options on the waiver wire than or on your bench probably than Jacoby Brissett. Honestly, like, apart from Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki, I'm staying away from everyone else in this offense.
Yeah, this is really not a friendly fantasy game, is it?
No.
Like Waddle proved that he could hang and have Brissett. I believe he had 13 targets last week. So, yeah, Gesicki and Waddle, but lower-end type of players.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So, you know, try to avoid that one. All right, let's hit Browns-Vikings, then we'll break. For the Browns this week, Odell Beckham Jr. Show. The question was, with him returning, how would he look? Looked good. Not a touchdown, but in that blowout versus the Bears, did have 9 targets, 5 catches. You still have Jarvis Landry, who was out. Kareem Hunt was just a one-man wrecking crew. Over 150 total scrimmage yards, touchdown. Chubb rumbling along as well. Like, Show, that was just a ground display for the ages.
Yeah, like, put it this way. In week 3, the Browns are playing the Vikings. In week 3, Chris Carson had 80 yards and a touchdown for Seattle. So, you know, if you're a Browns, an owner of a Browns running back, let's say, like Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt, you're starting either of them. And if you have both, you're probably starting both of them, right? Like, at this point. Because, you know what? Baker Mayfield, a good to very good, I would say at times, real-life NFL quarterback, pretty bad fantasy quarterback. Pretty, like, fantasy-wise, I want nothing to do with Baker Mayfield for the rest of the year.
It's a case where, like, and I can't blame head coach Kevin Stefanski. You have two all-world running backs. Why would you look to throw it any more than you have to? I think Odell is an interesting flex play today. I think he should be involved, maybe a WR3. I think they'll look to get the ball in his hands with the wide receiver core a little banged up. But yeah, Chubb, RB1, Hunt, borderline RB2, definitely a higher end flex. I think you can get both of them in there.
Yeah, I think that's fair, yeah.
And for the Vikings, you got Dalvin Cook. He is expected to play. He sat out week three with an ankle issue, and we saw that, you know, Madison can come in and rumble away. This is an interesting matchup overall, show, because I wonder how it plays out. Because Kevin Stefanski, Browns head coach, reigning coach of the year, by the way, he spent over a decade working in the Vikings system. Learned his offense under Gary Kubiak for the Vikings. So this offense and the defense that the Browns are going to prevent it, both sides know the other side's offense. Like, it's going to be a real chess match because they're essentially running the same style. The only difference is that Minnesota doesn't have any quality tight ends, which is the ideal way to run that offense. So they're trotting out KJ Osborne as that third one over the tight end group. So this just how they game plan for each other with essentially the same type of offensive plays and strategy, I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, like, look, like, you're not, no matter who the coaches are or offensive systems or whatever, like, you're still going to start Adam Thielen on a week-to-week basis. You're still starting Justin Jefferson on a week-to-week basis. And I think, by and large, this season, you could probably have started Kirk Cousins in every game and been fine, right? Like, he's been fine, right? I think the Browns defense...
Better than fine, show. Eighth overall in fantasy football.
Yeah, you like that? You like that, Andy?
You like that? Eighth, let's hope he doesn't do that today.
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah, but I just think that, like, again, I think you can always temper expectations against the Browns defense because they're like, an above-average unit at the very least, but I certainly not... You can't expect, like, 9 sacks again like you did last week, but... I think that, honestly, the biggest question mark, shockingly, I think, is Dalvin Cook this week. Only because, A, the Browns have a ferocious front seven, and he's coming off an ankle injury, right? Mm-hmm. So if he was completely healthy, I'd be like, Dalvin Cook's going to be fine. But you add in the defensive matchup and the fact that he's coming off injury, I think you're going to start Dalvin Cook if he's active because you kind of have to, but...
Right.
If he is otherwise, I think you kind of just, you know, just like temper expectations a little bit, perhaps.
Yeah, they might mix in Madison a little bit more. It'll be an interesting game. It'll be an interesting game. So really, running backs for the Browns and wide receivers for the Vikings, along with Dalvin Cook. Because like you said, Cho, if you got him, you're probably not going to have a better option to play him. Let's break. Top of the next hour. People's text line opening up. We'll tell you how you can win some Domino's pizza as well. You can text in 590-590 with your fantasy football questions. People's text line and on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Week 4, NFL Fantasy Show continues across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Sho Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour 2 of The Fantasy Show kicking off right now, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network, getting you ready for Week 4 in the National Football League. Your fantasy football start sits. We'll be giving away some Domino's pizza, who we are delivered by, of course. Check out all the carryout and delivery deals. Carside delivery, too. All at Domino's.ca. Make it a Domino's day. It's football. Come on. Get some pizza, some cheesy bread, marbled cookie brownie for dessert. Get you some. Domino's.ca. I'm Andy McNamara. That's Sho Ali. Get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. And Sho, it is time for the People's Text Line. You can text in 590-590, name and location. We should really get a stinger made up. We'll get maybe technical director Josh Santos on that for the People's Text Line. Don't you think a little like something with The Rock mixed in? I don't know.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think it'd be kind of fun. We've been doing it for well over a year at this point, so we might as well.
Yeah, come on, Santos.
Right? He's shaking his head. He's like,
get me a rock drop.
He's giving you, oh my God, what an obscene gesture, Santos.
Oh my goodness. He's waving. He's giving me the, oh no, that's not a thumbs
boo
up.
Boo Earns. He's saying Boo Earns.
Exactly.
All right. Let's Joe. Yeah, let's do it, Andy. Also, don't forget, you can also text in to win a Domino's Pizza prize. You can text in at 590-590 and maybe do it after we get to these fantasy questions. But at the same time, you can text in basically any time in the next hour. Who was the leading rusher in the Browns' 26-6 win over the Bears? And we'll choose someone at random who gets the correct answer, and we'll choose someone to win a Domino's Pizza prize back.
Well, that's right. And then every time the Browns win. So, folks, the Browns win, you win Domino's Pizza. That's what we're going to do the rest of the year. Every time. In past years, it would have been few pizzas given out, but I think we'll be giving out a lot of pizzas. Every time the Browns win.
At least two more pizzas. At least.
There'll be many more. 12 more pizzas. All of them.
All right. Let's get to the text line, Andy. Let's start with Ben from Thornhill. Ben says, my tight end problem started early this year. With Gronk going down, full PPR, which one do I start? Cameron Brate, Mike Gesicki, Evan Engram, Dawson Knox, or Tyler Conklin? Those are his choices.
Oh, Lordy. Did he say Gesicki?
Yes, Gesicki was in there.
Yeah, give me Gesicki. Yeah. Gesicki's, I think everyone else is a projection. Gesicki's a part of the offense.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Also, there you go. Some hotline bling as we call us, text us.
Little Drake.
Yes, Andy. Yeah, that is Drake.
I know the songs.
Canadian artist Drake, yes.
Canadian singer Drake.
Eddie from Angus. Two questions today. Standard scoring, I need 2 of 3 between Antonio Gibson, Chuba Hubbard, and Kareem Hunt. So we'll do that one first. 2 of 3. Antonio Gibson, Hubbard, and Hunt.
I would go Hubbard and Hunt only because Gibson is coming off of that injury. And I think you're going to be in a good spot no matter what, but I would go Hunt and Hubbard.
And then the other question, PPR. In PPR flex, so for his flex, Javonte Williams, Leonard Fournette, Jalen Waddle, Emmanuel Sanders, or Odell Beckham Jr.
So one of those?
One of those guys, I think.
Gee. I think the safest one is Waddle, show.
Yeah, I think so too, right?
But I think he's the safest. I think the highest ceiling might be Odell Beckham Jr. I think he's going to get the targets. You know what? Depends on how risky, if you're feeling a little froggy today.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? If you want it safe, go Waddle. You want a bit of a higher ceiling, maybe a little bit more of a nervous game, I think you go OBJ.
There's another text here. No name on this one, but I want to read it anyways. It's just MLB playoffs, week 4 in the NFL, and the NHL season almost here. Let's bleeping go, boys. So
let's go.
Very excited. Yeah, so it's basically the best time of the year. Once basketball and hockey start back and the NFL is still here and we're still in the MLB playoffs, that's like the best part of the sports calendar in North America, Andy. It's my favorite time of year, I got to say.
Well, it'll be even better when the Toronto Blue Jays are rolling in the postseason after they win today.
Yes, please. I'll take that. Let's go. Absolutely, yes. I'm sweet on that. Here we go. Let's start doing the flex. Half PPR scoring, Brandon Cooks, Antonio Gibson, and Chuba Hubbard. Two in the flex. So two of these guys, basically. So Cooks, Gibson, and Hubbard.
Give me Cooks and Hubbard. Cooks just on volume. He's the only thing in that Houston offense based on garbage time. While you want to avoid Houston as much as possible, I think you got to put Cooks in there. Give me Cooks and Hubbard.
And then we'll do this one as well. Single QB league. You have to pick one of these three QBs. Lamar Jackson, Sam Darnold, or Taylor Heineke.
No to Heineke. Boy, I hate when they make me say Lamar Jackson, but I'll say it. Potentially Sam Darnold, though, show. Like, for real, against the Cowboys. Don't discount him. But I just think with the leg talent of Lamar Jackson, I just can't say Sam Darnold right now. Either one, though, you're going to be fine, but obviously Jackson with the upside.
I just think, I think the floor is probably, like, at this point, relatively similar for both these guys, especially with CMC out. But I would say with Lamar, the ceiling is abundantly higher, right? when it comes to at least what we've seen. We'll wrap up on this one. And don't forget, if we don't get to your question on the air, I'm going to call Andy on his cell phone. As you heard there, hotline bling. I'm going to call him on the cell phone. And after the show, we're going to answer all of your text questions anyway. So we will answer all your questions on the air or off the air. We'll go to this one. Jason from Brooklyn. We'll wrap up with Jason. Full PPR, Cordarrelle Patterson or Myles Gaskin?
Oh, Patterson. All day. The guy's just been great. He's finally been a great fantasy play. PPR specifically, I would try to veer away standard. But you know what? For that particular situation, I would take him over Gaskin. Gaskin just hasn't had the workload. Like, he's been peaking at like 10, 11 fantasy points, Joe. Like, it's just very underwhelming.
That is also a Super Bowl champion, Patriots legend, Cordarrelle Patterson, Andy.
Okay. Oh God! Yeah, that's right. That's right. How dare I? Yes, absolutely. All right. So is that's the end of the text line for now?
Exactly. Yeah, we'll wrap up on the text line after that one, and then, like I said, we'll answer all the questions after the show.
All right. Sounds good, everybody. Let's get back to our fantasy football starts, sits, Giants at Saints. Say what you want about Daniel Jones, and the Giants are a. Pretty much, I just think they're... I don't think Joe Judge is a bad coach. I think Dave Gettleman is stuck in the wrong century. He's just... Yes. Boy. Yeah. Daniel Jones was a terrible draft choice at the time. I said it before, and it's looking like it's paying off again. But, you know, fantasy-wise, show, like, he came back down to earth in Atlanta. Disappointing show. I was hoping for a lot more in that Atlanta game versus that Falcons defense. Put up shy of 17 fantasy points. Could be a fun little shootout in New Orleans. Jones gives you the leg factor, so I think you can go with him. So, where are you at with Saquon? Saquon Barkley for the Giants?
I think he is an RB2. Not because I think he's like bad or anything. Again, like we said for a lot of other players, like Allen Robinson and other guys, right? It's just the way the offense is like stuck in second gear, right? Like they're in mud all the time. It feels like, I feel like you can't really rank Barkley more than an RB2 at this point, unfortunately. I think if he was in the right situation or if the offense was a little better, you could. But, I mean, look, they're going against the Saints, and both Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton are out today, right? It's like Kenny Galladay has the bum hip. He has the hip injury, right? So I'm not even sure if he's going to be active. So I think you kind of are already knowing that Sean Payton is going to sell out to stop Saquon Barkley, basically, right? So I don't know. I think you might stay away from everyone in this offense, if at all possible.
Boy. And you know what, folks? Like, Saquon had his first touchdown since 2019, but he's averaging, and this is what you look at for running backs that get majority of carries. What's the average yard per carry? 3.4. Saquon, when he was peaking, was around 5, maybe a shade under that. 3.4, that's not a great offensive line, obviously. Again, you're probably going to play him, but I like what you were saying, show RB2 expectations, and it might not even be that.
I'll put it this way, Andy. Look, the Saints defensive line, here's a stat I think that does not bode well for Saquon. The Saints defensive line has the league's fifth best ranking in yards before contact. Yeesh. Before contact. And now Saquon Barkley is who is probably going to be the entire offense today, is going up against that line. Like, sure, out of volume alone, you can expect him to have an RB2 day, but boy, like, again, we've used the word temper expectations or the phrase a lot today. I think that's happening again for Barkley.
Yeah, and Galladay, his hip injury, he was removed from the injury report yesterday. So, you know, maybe take a flyer on Galladay, but we're not loving it. Then you get to the Saints. This is a bit of a weird team. Like, Alvin Kamara, for sure. We know that, right, Joe? But, like Jameis Winston had that fun first week and then came crashing down the week after with two interceptions, bounced back up with two touchdowns, but still only 128 passing yards against New England. Like, it's very, we're used to Jameis Winston like having a five touchdown, three interception day with 400 passing yards. We're seeing a bit of back and forth, but the passing yards just aren't there. So I can't advise you're playing Winston. Really, to me, I'm just looking at Alvin Kamara, and that's about it.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Like, you're not taking a chance on Juwan Johnson or Adam Trautman at this point. You're not taking a chance on Deontay Harris or like Ty Montgomery or anything like that. You're pretty much really just Alvin Kamara. He's the whole fantasy offense in New Orleans. Yeah, the ceiling for Jameis Winston is pretty low as it is, and if the ceiling is low because he's just not throwing the ball all that much, the floor is zero. The floor is underground. Oh, no. That's where the floor is. The floor is in the basement. Oh. Is for Jameis Winston.
It's basement level. All right, let's move on. Titans at Jets. Oh boy, we are talking how bad the Texans are. let's not leave out the New York Jets. That might at least the Texans have like professional veterans, right? Joe, like you can look. It's like, okay, those are football players. They're not gonna beat you, but you're gonna have to work for it. The Jets, shut out, nothing. Robert Saleh. Oh man, like I'm not blaming him, but you got to get a. There's just no talent. There's no talent on the Jets. Like who are, I feel we're saying this a lot this week, Joe, but who the heck do you want to play on the New York Jets on your fantasy team? Who are you leaping up and down to say, I got to get him into my lap? You're not doing it for Corey Davis. You're not doing it for any running back. Like again, like this might even be a bigger non-starter than the Texans, where at least you have Brandon Cooks.
Andy, let me put it this way. Corey Davis is probably the only guy you can feasibly start this week from the Jets offense, right? Like and again, you're starting him as your third wide receiver, maybe as your flex, I think is like the best case scenario for Corey Davis. Corey Davis has, and I'm not kidding, literally all of the Jets' touchdowns this season. Every touchdown the Jets have scored the entire season. It's week four. In the entire month of September, because today is October 3rd, Corey Davis has scored every single one of those touchdowns, he's still a wide receiver three. Like that is truly abysmal. It is a fantasy black hole in New York. Wow. I don't think that shocks anyone, right? I mean, like maybe today. And look, the Titans, on the other hand, no AJ Brown, no Julio Jones, right? That I think that also basically means you have to downgrade Ryan Tannehill because he's basically throwing to guys like. Nick Westbrook, and I completely apologize for butchering the other part of his last name. I think it's Ekine, I want to say. But either way, right. Chester Rogers. Like, do you really want to start these guys? Like, I might try and start Westbrook in one particular league just to see how it works out. But I mean, boy, like you apart from Derrick Henry, after Derrick Henry, that's kind of it for like for both teams essentially.
Well, yeah, like Ryan Tannehill is just, I don't know what the heck's going on there. This dude thinks he's in South Beach again with how he's playing. Now, he popped three touchdowns, two interceptions last week. His fantasy production was up over 20 finally. But the guy who's been being talked up is who you just said, Show. Nick Westbrook Ekine, if we're saying it right, but Westbrook-Ekine. Ryan Tannehill spoke about his toughness, how he's reliable. He was talking him up a lot this week. We can't ignore that. Josh Reynolds also coming off the injured list, so maybe a little Josh Reynolds who flashed from time to time with his time with the Rams. Could this be the time for the vaccine? Anthony Firkser show. Could this be the time for Firkser to finally show up at tight end with the lack of two stars in Brown or Jones? Maybe. But I'm with you. I think this has like a 30 carry Derrick Henry day written all over it.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you can take, and I know the Jets have a decent defensive line. Like the best part of their team is probably their defensive line.
Boy,
unfortunately, you don't get fantasy points per defensive line rush or what have you. But unless you're in a particularly specialized fantasy league. But I mean, even then, I mean, yeah, like take the over on Derrick Henry rushing yards at this point.
I think so. I think that's exactly it. Okay, let's move on to a hopefully much more fun fantasy game. Kansas City Chiefs at the Philadelphia Eagles. What's this? The Chiefs are under 500? Ooh, boy. Things got a little tough for old Patty. Not so cute anymore. We'll see how they bounce back. This feels like it could be and should be a get-right game for the Chiefs, who have really just been the toast of the NFL, maybe with a little bit of adversity. They really bounce back Andy Reid's old team in Philly. Quarterback-wise, show, we know we're starting Patty Mahomes.
Yep.
And say what you want about Jalen Hurts. He did not have a great week last week, but fantasy-wise, still better than Dak Prescott. He is still the fifth best overall fantasy football player. So real life, how it turns out, I'm not sure. But that dude is popping it out when it comes to fantasy points. So Hurts is a definite start. Same with Pat Mahomes. Tyreek Hill's usage has been a little concerning to me, Show. Not quite the volume we're and production that we're used to.
Yeah, it's true. I think, in no way, shape, or form am I saying bench Tyreek Hill this week, but it's just, you know, it's a little concerning, I think.
Only
right?
One score.
It's a little concerning, but I think the Chiefs are 1-2 on the season. The Eagles are 1-2 as well, but the Chiefs being 1-2 is more surprising than anything else. Their one win coming against you know who, Andy, but at the same time, look, Patrick Mahomes, real quick, despite his quote unquote struggles this year, is still the QB3 this year, right? So I almost feel like it's better for fantasy football if the Chiefs are trailing more, because then Patrick Mahomes and his prodigious arm talent is going to be slinging it even more, right? So I think that's mm-hmm. this can only mean good things for guys like Kelce and Tyreek Hill. But I mean, apart from those guys. Yeah, you know, you're not really starting, you know, you're not starting again Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson like we say every week, right? It's just, like, again, despite the fact that it is a little concerning for Tyreek Hill, you're still starting all of the usual suspects in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And again, the only question mark really is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I think this week he's probably, you know, maybe a flex play or an RB3. I know Ezekiel Elliott, you know, basically bullied the Eagles defense last week, but they're not the same kind of player, Zeke and CEH.
No, not at all. I'm with you on the RB3. Like, he just got himself into RB2 relevance because he hit 100 yards on the nose last week, but that's not going to be a common occurrence. For the Eagles, I think you can avoid all the running backs. Like, if you have Miles Sanders, you're probably going to have to play him, but he has been unimpressive on usage. Devonta Smith, still think, is the top target. And right now, seems like a bit of a guessing game when it comes to the tight end usage. Like, Dallas Goedert entered the year as the guy who should have been the top target, but Zach Ertz last week got the touchdown and jumped back in. So is it Ertz? Is it Goddard? The only guy I really want to be looking at right now is Devonta Smith when it comes to Eagles players outside of Jalen Hurts.
Basically, yeah. I think Miles Sanders, we thought going into this season he was going to be used like Jonathan Taylor was used last year. And last week, Sanders, 2 carries, Andy. 2. One and then two. Like he had a frighteningly low amount of carries, especially if you drafted him, like, you know, maybe in the top 5 rounds or something like that, right? So it's been another player like Allen Robinson who I think, if in the right situation, if he was given like a bell cow type role, or even anything remotely like a bell cow role, right, he would be one of the best running backs in all football.
Absolutely.
Probably, right? It's insane how they're using this guy. It's like driving a Lamborghini in like third gear or something, right? Or first gear, pardon me. It drives me nuts. But either way, I think that basically means that until we see a change, Miles Sanders is like unfortunately an RB, maybe even an RB3 the way things are going right now, right?
Might be.
It's unfortunate. Jalen Hurts, you know what though, I will say, Jalen Hurts, to wrap up here, I think we're at the point now where I don't think I can feasibly put him in like start sit articles anymore for sportsnet.ca. I think he is a every week start at this point.
He is. And again, real life wise, it might not be pretty. Dude's putting up 5th overall. You're not going to play Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, come on. You're going to play Jalen Hurts. All right, let's one more before we break. The Arizona Cardinals visiting Los Angeles and the Rams. Very interested in this one. Now, DeAndre Hopkins had a rib issue earlier in the week. He did return to practice on Thursday. So just like the other elite receivers, if they're in, you're playing them and you're not asking questions about it. I still feel in this offense, Show, you can have Hopkins in. I put Christian Kirk above Rondale Moore right now, but Moore certainly has been an interesting play this week. Those secondary targets have been something that have been really, really intriguing when it comes to that Cardinals offense, which we know is super high octane. Like, Moore had a bad week last week against Jacksonville, which was a bit surprising, but the week before went over 20 fantasy points. And of course, boy, Kyler Murray, the guy just keeps doing it.
Yeah, he's the top fantasy quarterback right now.
Yeah.
Like, period.
Yeah, he's
right?
Number one.
Yeah, he's been absolutely ridiculous. So you're not. It was a bit of a down week last week for his lofty standards, but you're still starting him. And yeah, I mean, look, we did recommend to people last week that if Hopkins plays, you start him. And I know it was a down week, and it was a bye. I have Hopkins in one league, and that definitely contributed to. I had the second most points in one league, and I lost to basically like the top scoring team. And if Hopkins had even a regular day, I probably would have won. So it's one of those things where it can't be helped, because if he is healthy, you got to start him. Like, you can't not start DeAndre Hopkins if he's active, right? And even with the rib injury and the kind of down week last week, he still got 6 targets. So I think you still like the production and when everything going right for Hopkins. Rams wise, I mean, look, Stafford looked amazing, right? This whole season,
keep going.
He's a QB1. Probably we don't have to talk about him anymore. Much like we have been talking, unless he gets injured, obviously. But I mean, as long as he's healthy, you're starting him every week. Cooper Kupp, basically the overall wide receiver in a one in fantasy, right? Hear the news that Cooper Kupp has people are like, oh, the reason he's been so successful is because he has breakfast with Matthew Stafford. It's like, okay, well, why isn't everyone having breakfast with their quarterbacks at this point?
That seems like a bit of a stretch, but hey, whatever's working, that guy is on absolute fire is Cooper Kupp. Who saw that coming? 4th overall top wide receiver. You keep that going. Tyler Higbee, while, up and down, I still think he's somebody that you need to go to just because, as we always talk about, the scarcity of the position, right, Joe? Yeah. Like, especially with Gronk out, he got just over 12 fantasy points last week. Is he going to be able to light it up against Arizona? It depends what light it up means to you. I think if he gets you into double-digit fantasy points at this point in the year, you got him. That's probably the best you can hope for.
I think so, right? Like, I think he's always going to be at best the third option target share wise, right? And behind Kupp and Woods. But I think, like you said, thin position. Matthew Stafford loves the third of the position itself, like the tight end spot. So, and Higbee doesn't really share with anyone else, right? Like, if this was more of a timeshare, like the Eagles, like we were just talking about, Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, I'd maybe be more concerned, but he basically doesn't share that position with anyone else, essentially, right? So,
no.
As long as that is the case, and it is the case right now, I think you can start him and be reasonably confident he's going to get a decent amount of looks, right? Like, he doesn't drop the ball all that much. He converts most of his targets into catches. So whether or not he's grabbing a TD is you still want to get him in here. I'm starting him this week, for example, if that helps. If that helps anyone.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to avoid Robert Woods though, Shel. Like, he's averaging just 41 yards over the first 3 games. No touchdown. One touchdown came in the first week, but just doesn't seem to be on the same page. I think he's a borderline just bench, which is disappointing from where you drafted him, I'm sure. But right now, he's just not getting the looks or the volume. It seems to be, and Darrell Henderson is supposed to play today as well, just as a heads up for the Rams.
Yeah, exactly. The Cards defense, a little pesky, right? So I think you want to downgrade the guys who are more on the, not like injury questionable, but more on the role questionable wise, like Darrell Henderson and like Woods. But yeah, it's unfortunate with Woods, right? I mean, Woods and Kupp were, generally speaking, ranked pretty similarly in the draft, right? Like, they were like hovering around the same round-ish, right, thereabouts. And Kupp has produced like far greater fantasy returns than Robert Woods has. So, I mean, look, we don't need us to tell you to start Cooper Kupp, but yeah, I do think Robert Woods, I would probably pass this week, but hey, I mean, you may not have another option, right?
Yeah, and in backfield, Henderson coming back, Sony Michel hasn't really been able to get it done. I still like Chase Edmonds as the start when it comes to running backs.
Gets a lot of catches.
A lot of catches. You know, he's getting you 10, 11. He's getting you low double digits. A nice high floor for Chase Edmonds, which in a committee isn't the worst type of thing. James Conner, I'd still try to avoid it. All right, we're going to take the break. When we come back, we will continue our fantasy football start sits, wrap up the rest of the games. Also, our Danger Zone picks coming up as the fantasy show continues, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Rolling along on The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network, getting you ready for week 4 in the National Football League. I'm Andy McNamara. That's Shaw Ali. Give us a follow on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. And folks, you know what Sunday is. Perfect football food is pizza, Domino's Pizza. And if you like to get free pizza for ordering at Domino's.ca, and why wouldn't you? You just go to the Piece of the Pie rewards option at the top right-hand corner, the little blue pizza slice at Domino's.ca. You click on it, free to join. Then anytime you order anything, $10 or more at Domino's.ca, you get 10 points. You get to 60 points. You get free pizza. Come on. You can start it today if you're not signed up at Domino's.ca. Piece of the Pie rewards menu. Do it. Delivery and carryout options. Perfect football food at Domino's.ca. All right, Joe, you ready to keep rolling with these fantasy football start sets?
Yeah, let's do it. And don't forget, Andy, we're giving away the Domino's Pizza Prize. You got to do is text us at 590-590 for the next, basically the next 30 minutes. And after the show, we'll pick a random winner who gets the correct answer. But our question is, who was the leading rusher for the Browns last week in their 26-6 win over the Bears? So a leading rusher, not yards from scrimmage overall, but the leading rusher. Text us the answer to that question, and you'll be entered for a chance to win a Domino's Pizza Prize.
That's right. And this season, the rest of the season, anytime the Browns win, you get a chance to win Domino's Pizza. So go, Browns. I'm trying to bribe you to cheer alongside with me in the dog pound.
Okay, you're right. I was harsh before. At least three more wins. At least, Andy.
I hope Tom Brady just stomps out Mac Jones and Bill Belichick is left quivering in a pile. Oh, I can't wait for that game. It's going to be fun, yeah. We're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes as we roll through and finish up our fantasy football start sits. Now, Seahawks at the 49ers. Let's begin with the 49ers. This is such a weird team show because you're just, again, they keep, do they need to hire new trainers in San Francisco? The past like 3 years, they have just been decimated over and over again by injuries. Eli Mitchell, who everybody spent all their highest waiver priority, all their fab dollars, all of that on, is likely not going to play. And if he is, very limited. So Trey Sermon, okay, like it just seems like a whole bunch of what ifs. George Kittle was, quote, I don't know what that means, Joe, but he was, quote, loudly telling teammates that he's going to play. So whatever that means. And then I guess Deebo Samuel, like, I guess.
Oh, boy. Yeah. The 49ers this week are not great. Not a great fantasy team this week, particularly, like you said. Jimmy Garoppolo, you're starting him? Nah, probably not, right?
No.
Eli Mitchell, not going to play this week. So Trey Sermon, flex play at best, perhaps, right?
I mean,
based on where you drafted him, you didn't waste too much draft capital because he was probably drafted pretty late. But at the same time, I mean, some people
he hasn't been great.
Yeah, he just hasn't, right? He just doesn't look like he has the great vision right now, and maybe there was a reason why he was inactive in week one at this point, right? I know that was a shock to a lot of people, but still, it's been not great there. I would say I saw a couple of minutes ago that George Kittle is expected to play later today. So if that's the case, then that's good news for your tight end spot. But I mean, even he's been a little disappointing, right? Like, I think that the play today is probably Deebo Samuel as a WR2. Brandon Ayuk has been pretty disappointing this year, but I know he's been talked up a little more this week as well. I don't know. I don't have the guts to start Brandon Ayuk this week. So I think it's really just Deebo Samuel. And then, secondary option, George Kittle. But again, you have to remember he's banged up and has that, I think what it was, a calf injury, I think. So you want to kind of monitor that.
Yes, absolutely. And on the Seahawks side, the tight end side of it is that Gerald Everett is not expected to play. He's on the COVID list. So that means, show, you dial yourself up, you dust off some Will Disley. D-I-S-S, folks. Don't forget the extra S. L-Y, Will Disley. This guy in the past, you know, he has not been able to stay healthy for, well, pretty much his whole career. But when he has been extremely effective. Show, Russell Wilson looks his way for touchdowns. Like, this is a case where I think Will Disley has a real chance that he's available in 99% of Yahoo leagues. If you need tight end help today, Disley would be my top waiver wire pickup right now to get him into the game against San Francisco, who, again, I'm just not too sure what to expect. They're middle of the pack on their defense overall. I think Will Disley is a tremendous play. And of course, you know, you're going with DK Metcalf as the top option. Tyler Lockett is expected to play, but he's coming off of some injuries also.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're starting Chris Carson and you're starting Russell Wilson as well.
Oh, and of course, Russell Wilson. Yes.
Yeah.
Let him cook. Let him cook.
Yes.
I think Disley's a great play today, though. All right. Ravens at Broncos. Don't look now, Shell. Like, Denver Broncos? Offense led by Teddy Bridgewater. Defense looking upper echelon. Baltimore just a 1-point favorite in Denver. I think that is a fascinating line for what we've seen out of the Denver Broncos this year.
Yeah, the Denver Broncos 3-0. I think they are leading, I want to say, the AFC West, or at least maybe either leading or tied for the lead. I think leading, actually, because I think the Chargers they're tied for the lead with the Raiders. That's who the other team was. The Denver Broncos and Raiders surprising everyone in the AFC West this year. But yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, it's funny, right? Because Bridgewater looks basically exactly the same as he's always looked. He doesn't look like he's really changed all that much. He's pretty much the same quarterback he's been going back to college, right? Going back to the to the
consistent.
Cards, basically. Yeah, he's been. He is. I would say in a 2QB league, you can probably start him, but again, you want to lower your expectations against the Ravens. Even though this is a home game for the Broncos, it's like the Ravens do has still have a pretty decent defense, and they can still bully their way to the passer, and they still have a good pair of cornerbacks specifically. And it's interesting, right? Because no KJ Hamler, he's done for the year, and Jerry Jeudy's still out. So that means the top two wide receivers in this week's matchup are Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick. And usually I would say, I love both of those guys, but they still have a tough matchup cornerback-wise this week, right? And again, Teddy Bridgewater is not exactly the kind of guy who's like going out there and making the craziest plays in the world, right? So I would say for the two of them, I'm saying like WR2, WR3 status for Cortland and Tim Patrick. But in weeks after this week, I would probably bump them up a little more.
I would as well. Teddy does what Teddy does. He's not real. Now, the first 2 weeks, he got over 20 fantasy points. I don't want to take that away from him.
Sure, yeah.
But most weeks, he's not going to be your QB1, but he makes the pieces around him relevant. Now, running back is still a conundrum there, Show,
because yeah,
Melvin Gordon can pop if he gets a touchdown. Javonte Williams hasn't, but they're leaning towards him in certain situations. I guess I will go Melvin Gordon over Williams for now. I don't love it. I'd like to avoid it. Noah Fant also really inconsistent, but Baltimore's given up the most fantasy points to tight ends this season, so maybe that's a bump up to him with Hamler being out and Jeudy still being out. So maybe. If I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens, again, it comes down to Lamar Jackson. That's it. Tyson Williams, like I told y'all, you can't count on him. Couldn't count on him last week. Mark Andrews is still going to be the top target, and he's not going to be super reliable because it's Lamar Jackson, and he's throwing the ball. Like Hollywood Brown has been really what we expected, Joe, right? Like up and down. You can't rely on it. Like look at Mark Andrews, 3.5 fantasy points, 8.2, 13.4.
Yeah,
and this week he could be down to 5 points again.
Marquise Brown, Andy, could have. He was on his way to maybe like being the WR1 last week. I think he dropped three passes, all of which that would have ended up as touchdowns. With his speed, all of them. One of them he dropped in the end zone, pardon me, right? Like, and the other two were like wide open, streaking passes into his hands on the sidelines. Like, and he bumbled all of them, and you could see Harbaugh talking to him on the sideline afterwards. Yeah, someone has texted before, and I don't remember your name off the top of my head, because our Browns pizza contest has buried all the other texts right now.
Yeah,
but
folks.
At the same time, Marquise Brown, WR2, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, like you said, it's not, you can't, can you rely on it on a week-to-week basis? Probably not. I'll just say this to wrap up on the Ravens, because like you said, you're starting Lamar Jackson over everyone. Rashad Bateman, I think, is a decent stash for now, because if he is active, let's say in the next couple of weeks, depending on the matchup, Rashad Bateman, I think, instantly becomes the most talented wide receiver on that offense. And that's not a slight against Marquise Brown. I think it's just a more how impressive Rashad Bateman is. I mean, you and I both love the guy coming out of college, and he's been injured to start the year. Will that translate to fantasy production? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But I think it's at least worth a stash on your bench if you have the space, at the very least.
Yeah, he's got the core muscle injury, won't play this week, but did return to practice, so his return should be soon. So something to definitely track, but yeah, otherwise try to stay away. Let's see. We got Steelers at Packers. Ooh, boy. And you said it earlier in the program, Show. Chase Claypool out. Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster in. Najee Harris must start. Ben Roethlisberger's arm is toast. If you have to start a Steelers receiver, I go with Deontay Johnson in PPR because of the slot advantage, and that Ben Roethlisberger's not throwing the ball much more than 5 yards through the air right now. So I would say Johnson and Harris as the two starters for the Steelers, and that's really all I'm interested in.
Yeah, Big Ben averaging 13 fantasy points a game so far, so on Big Ben unless he's playing like some really awful team, and even then, you know, probably better options, right?
Love it so much.
I think maybe James Washington could be like a sneaky DFS play if you need to fill out your lineup, just because there's no there's no Chase Claypool this week. But again, I don't know. You don't want to there are probably other better options there as well. Packers-wise, again, you're starting all the usual suspects. You're starting Aaron Rodgers. You're starting Aaron Jones. You're starting Devontae Adams. Robert Tonyan, I'm sitting. until I see the Packers offense be a little more consistent. And also specifically, I mean, you and I talked about this in the preseason, Andy. Like the Packers offense, and specifically his looking at Robert Tonyan in the red zone, was always going to come back down to earth a little bit, because it was like just insane efficiency, right? It was like it was some like wild stat where every other time Tonyan was in the red zone, Rodgers would look his way. So I think now it's kind of evening out a little bit. So for now, I would bench Tonyan, because they're probably better options. Like, is Gesicki on the waiver wire? I'm taking Gesicki over Tonyan this week.
Yeah, Tonyan on the year has 8 targets, 6 catches, 1 touchdown. Not good right now. Okay, so you know who to start for the Packers outside of that, like you just listed. So let's move on. Buccaneers and Patriots. Oh, baby. Show, I got to say this. I think Tom Brady absolutely will have no mercy and will punish Belichick and the Patriots. Godwin, yes. Evans, yes. There's no Gronk. Cameron Brate doesn't excite me anymore. Yeah, you know, maybe if you wanted to get cute on a streamer and you're desperate, fine. But I try to avoid that. I'm not touching the Buccaneers running backs. Give me Godwin, Evans, Brady. Let's go. And for the Pats, like, show, I don't know, man. I just think this is going to be a statement game all around. I'm going to try to avoid as many New England Patriots as I can, because that backfield is still really dicey.
Yeah, I think, like, if you're looking at the Patriots this week, yeah, I unfortunately, the season-ending injury to James White, which really sucks, just on a personal note, because that guy's had a rough couple of years in his personal life. But Damian Harris, like, his absence basically meant that Damian Harris was used even less, right? I know they were trailing basically the whole game, so maybe that's a little bit of a, like we've talked about before, like a negative game script affected how they used the running game, right? But with no James White, the safety valve basically now becomes Jacoby Myers. I actually think Jacoby Myers is a pretty good play this week, only because when White went out, Mac Jones looked his way 14 times last week, which is insane, right? He has 29 targets on the year and 14 of them coming last week. So again, in a game that you would expect the Buccaneers to really take it to the Patriots, Mac Jones is probably going to have to throw the ball a lot. And if he does, the guy who picks up the slack in the short run game essentially is Jacoby Myers as the little slot guy and so on, right? So I really like Jacoby Myers this week as a play, but nobody else, basically. No one else. It's a no Mac Jones, no none of the tight ends. And, I just want to also point out, with no Gronk, I actually think AB, who is back from the COVID list, Antonio Brown, probably a pretty good play this week, right? Like, like you said, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, absolutely, you're starting those guys. I don't think we really need to have a huge conversation about them, like you said. But Antonio Brown probably going to pick up some more slack in Gronk's absence, I would imagine.
A nice flex play. Yeah. Ramondre Stevenson getting some talk up in New England. We know that means nothing when it comes to the coaching staff there. That is just a schmoz and a guess when it comes to their backfield right now. All right, last one, Monday night.
A what and a guess?
A schmoz.
It's a schmoz.
I don't know, like a cluster.
You made that up. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's there. It's a word.
All right.
Look, yeah, probably. It's an Andyism. You can work with it.
Okay,
it gets the point across.
All right.
Raiders at Chargers, Monday night football show. Woo-hoo. That's a main event. Don't look now, folks. Raiders are for real. Justin Herbert also. He is rocking. This is going to be I would still say Justin Herbert over Derek Carr when it comes to, because he can use his legs a bit more. But Derek Carr has been fantastic. Definitely a QB1, 12th overall player in football, 25, 24, 23 fantasy points in his first three. I say you light for the Raiders, you light him up, you light Waller up, and don't look now, show. Hunter Renfro, you watch. PPR, Hunter Renfro. Flex play, that dude is being consistently in the teens for your fantasy points. Hunter Renfro's the best wide receiver play on the Raiders this week.
Yeah, he's been in PPR. He has 16 catches for 204 yards and a touchdown over the first 3 weeks, right? He has at least 5 catches in every week this season so far. So I think, and add to that, Derek Carr has already thrown 136 passes over 3 weeks.
Amazing.
That's insane.
Amazing.
Like that's going to for sure carry some value to Darren Waller, and it's for sure going to keep on giving value to guys like Hunter Renfro. Henry Ruggs probably still going to maintain his similar role where he's the deep
roller
guy.
Coaster.
Yeah. It's, you know, probably similar to Marquise Brown. We were talking about the Ravens a little while ago, but I mean, the Derek Carr to Renfro and Waller is pretty good right now. So against the Chargers, like, you know, middling defense, I would say. I think you can probably feel okay with those guys. And on the other end, boy, Andy, Mike Williams, he was my favorite play last week, and he He ate last week. He is just absolutely ridiculous. And again, Joe Lombardi, the Chargers offensive coordinator now, coming over from the Saints school, and he's compared not the player, but the role that Mike Williams is fulfilling, like the X receiver role, to that of Michael Thomas in New Orleans, right?
Oh,
so we know that role is a very productive one, and at least that's at least in part due to Michael Thomas being a very good player. But at the same time, yeah, very impressive stuff. So I like Mike Williams for the rest of the year. You're starting Austin Ekeler, you're starting Keenan Allen. Jared Cook, you know, it's a little up and down with him, but I mean,
touchdown dependent.
Yeah, like would you take Jared Cook over Robert Tonyan at this point? Like, maybe
I would.
Yeah,
I would, but I don't like it. But I would.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he hasn't got a touchdown yet, but he is TD dependent. Also, Josh Jacobs questionable. Track that going in. If he sits, you go Peyton Barber over Kenyon Drake right now. In my humble opinion, if Josh Jacobs is able to play, then that is just another schmoz show. Another schmoz.
Schmoz. Come
on. You know what? I think that's a wrestling term for when there's two. Like when there's lots of run-ins and stuff like that called a schmoz. I think that's where I got it from.
I think you made it up. I think you just made that up is what I think. I think that's where that comes from.
All right, I'm going to make a shirt. Hashtag schmoz. I'm not even sure how you spell it. S-H-M-O-Z.
Great.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's break. We're going to come back, finish up the show with our Danger Zone fantasy picks. Danger Zone picks to wrap up the fantasy show delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
So did we. Welcome back. We're wrapping up the fantasy show delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Andy McNamara alongside Shoali. You can follow us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. Get your fantasy football questions in there. You can use hashtag AskAndy. You can pop in your questions to the People's Text Line 590-590. Perfect football food, folks. You know it. Get yourself some Domino's Pizza today at Domino's.ca. All right, show. Before we get to our Danger Zone fantasy picks this week, you got a recap from last week, right?
Yes, we finally have more than like 30 seconds to talk about the Danger Zone this week.
Right.
So, we did a good job this week, Andy. So here are our picks from last week. You went with Vikings wide receiver KJ Osborne to be a top five wide receiver in PPR. He had 4.6 fantasy points last week.
Good.
So I didn't even bother counting where he finished because it was very low. And similarly, I had Daniel Jones as a top two quarterback last week, and he finished as the 20th best quarterback. So, hey, look, this is why it's called the Danger Zone, Andy. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, and sometimes they're dangerously bad, like they were last week.
It's not the safe zone, folks.
No.
You sit. And by the way, show, I looked up schmoz, and there is a wrestling podcast called The Schmoz, and it's called that because of what I said, that run-in. It's called, because of the run-in, it's called a schmoz when there's a whole bunch of wrestlers running in to interrupt the match, called the schmoz.
Oh, there you go.
There you go, see? All right. I know I was going to go with J.D. McKissic as my Danger Zone pick, but show. I'm going to make a change because the more I was thinking about it and talking about it, and it just got in my brain, Will Dissly.
I knew you were going to go with Dissly. Here we go.
Show, it kept coming in. It kept coming in because of Noah Everett. So I'm picking Will Dissly, top five fantasy tight end. I don't care what format you get. There's no Gronk. There's a whole bunch of question marks. Dissly, top five. Let's go. Danger Zone.
All right, Will Dissly again. He coming off, was it last year he was injured or the year before? I don't remember at this point.
But both years. Big injuries both years, but he's back, baby.
All right, I like it. Will Dissly, in the absence of Gerald Everett, Andy's going with Will Dissly, top five in any format. In PPR, I will go with my guy, Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers will be in a PPR format, Andy, a top five wide receiver in the entire NFL this week. There you go.
Woo.
That's my pick. Against an injured Bucs secondary, and Mac Jones is probably going to have to throw the ball a whole hell of a lot. I'm going to go Jacoby Myers, top five in PPR.
Yeah, a lot of garbage time points. I think you might be right there. All right, that'll do it, folks. Enjoy the games. And you know what? We are going to – there's a couple minutes left to get your text in, 590-590, name and location. Who is the Cleveland Browns' top rusher in their win over the Chicago Bears last week? We'll pick randomly a winner who gets it right, and they'll win a Domino's Pizza prize.
There you go.
Enjoy the games, everybody. We'll be back next week for Josh, for Show. I'm Andy. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.